Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Okay, today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God brings it in. Until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We are, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside of us, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying for us, making prayer out of our worldless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked within something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to the shape to the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of the sun that stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives in there and in him. God made that decision of what his children should be like. He followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. So, what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us. Is in this presence of God at this very moment sticking up for us? Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that God and Jesus, our masters, have embraced us. May God bless your hearing and understanding and application of this scripture. Amen.
Well, good morning, church, and those listening online. My name is Pastor Harold Long. I am the teaching pastor here, and it's great to be with you this morning. If you have your bulletin, inside the bulletin, inside cover are some reflection questions for today's message. I encourage you to reflect on those in private or in a small group setting or with your spouse. and see what you can learn about yourself and each other as you unpack today's scripture reading. We're going to talk about a lot of things today as we go through this chapter. We had a lot of meat on the bone. One topic that we'll definitely hit on is predestination. So I want to start with some humor. A person who believes in predestination arrived at the gates of heaven. He sees there's two lines going on to get into heaven. One of the signs reads predestined, and the other free will. He naturally heads to the predestined line. While waiting, an angel comes and asks him, "Why are you in this line?" He replies, "Because I chose it." The angel looks surprised. "Well, if you chose it, then you should be in the free will line." So the person of predestination faith, now slightly miffed, obediently wanders over to the free will line. Again, a few minutes later, another angel asks him, "Why are you in this line?" He slowly surprised replies, "Someone maybe come over here." And that'll come to you even more as we unpack our message today. Trust me. We're going to be talking about the Spirit. The title of today's message is The Ultimate Spirit Guard. And you can see that on our sermon slide. And what does the word Spirit mean? The word Spirit means, I think it's really important to know what the word Spirit means. It means to give life. And so that's what the Spirit should do for you as a broken, fatally flawed human being. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, it should give you new life, a new attitude, a new outlook on life, a new mojo, if you would, on how to live life, how to treat God's kids, how to create all creation because of this new Spirit that's living in you. But there's also a calling on your life as a Spirit-centered person, as a Spirit warrior, if you would. And a warrior lives a life of action and clear direction. So if you put those two words together, a Spirit warrior, that's what we should be. Clear direction, very committed to it, all in action, trying to bring life into broken, dead, sometimes asleep situations. Whether we're going into, you know, where the wounded, where the suffering, where the excluded live. That's where we're called to be. And it's easy not to do that. It's easy to just get stuck into the stream of life and live for your own self-interest. But that's not what we're called for. We're called for something bigger. God didn't drag us out of the ocean just to, you know, sit around and be gluttons or be greedy. He brought us out of the ocean to be spirit warriors. And so that's what we want to live into. We want to live into that calling on our lives. And as Crystal brought out in the message she gave, that we're called by name and we're called with a purpose. You know, we're not called just to be saved, but saved for a purpose. And each of us has our own gifts, our own talents to what that purpose is. But that's the inventory question. Am I living into my spirit warrior purpose in my life? And that's really what we want to hang on to today. All of creation waits for this to come. So all of creation, not just this fallen earth, this whole planet that we live in, is a fallen piece of creation. It's part of the fall, that, as the Bible clearly spells out. And it's in that fall that the birth pains of creation await the regeneration of heaven on earth. Sometimes we get lost in thinking it's something far away when Scripture's clearly that it's going to be right here, right where we're at, that heaven will restore it on earth. Just like the Lord's Prayer said, on earth as it is in heaven. It's that mentality. So as a spirit warrior, we're part of that restoration process. It's not something God's going to do, God do alone. He's going to do that through us, through his people. And so that's our calling right here, right now. If we're alive and breathing on this planet, our job is to live into that. So what am I doing today that's going to make a big difference in how somebody else's life turns out? Would be a simple way of saying that. What am I going to do? Starting inside your own family unit, but then expanding that to your neighbors, to other places where you can go, where the wounded, the suffering, and the excluded exist. What are those places for you? And if you do that, you get to watch the impossible become possible and watch how the Spirit brings life to some really broken and lost people. And that's our calling. So the birth pains described in our scripture today are inevitable. And basically that means you've got a lot of mamas here. We've got some grandmas, we've got some great-grandmas. So there's plenty of people. There's plenty of experience, strength, and hope here who knows what those birth pains are like. Amen? Can I get amen, sisters? Let me know what that's like. But the birth pains of just being a spirit warrior. Because as a scripture read today, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be spat upon. Jesus said, "They hate me, they're going to hate you." So if you're really trying to live a spirit, Jesus-centered life, I mean really trying to live it in the world, you're going to be the antichrist to a lot of people. You're not going to be the fan favorite. You're not going to be the life of the party. You know, you're not going to be the chosen one and the foursome on your golf crew, most likely. You know, it's just because people will be intimidated by you. They'll be threatened by you, especially if they're living for their own self-interest. Your life will be a threat to their own self, their very self-centered life. So with that comes a lot of persecution. So we have to know that. And I think it's important to know, and that's what Scripture is trying to tell us, that we can have hope, we can have motivation and encouragement in the midst of these labor pains. As the earth waits to be restored, we as kingdom people know what is to come, but we also know that we've had victory over our broken lives here on earth while we're still alive. That we've had victory, or that we can have victory over the hurts, habits, and hang-ups in our life. And that's good news, but ultimately it comes with a purpose in our life. So we want to hang on to that. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate spirit guard, giving to us to help us do, to keep going, to be our advocate, to be our counselor, to be our friend, to be our, you know, to be with us every step of the way. When we just get tired, when we get frustrated, when we get selfish, when we get confused, when we get full of anxiety or fear of the unknown, and keep pressing forward, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to give us strength to keep going, and even advocate on our behalf, which I think is awesome. If you caught that in our scripture today, even when you don't even know how the words to pray, you don't even know how to pray for this situation, you don't even know what to say, that the Holy Spirit is advocating for us, praying on our behalf. That's a true intercessor. That's the Holy Spirit. That's our friend, and that's awesome. And so that's something we can get excited about. Even it makes this quote in Scripture, He makes prayers out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. So even when we're complaining, He takes them and turns them into something worthwhile to bend God's ear. So what a friend, and what promises of hope that can give us all. The Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why we can be sure no matter what happens in life, God can take whatever's going on, good or bad or ugly, and shape it into something awesome. Because the Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. And as long as we're committed to living Jesus-centered life, which means we're focused on God's interest instead of living for our own self-interest, it's a great way to live. You know, our pride and fear and our extreme self-centeredness won't enslave us like it can, only by choice. So this topic of predestination is at hand. And so I lifted it up with a little bit of humor to begin with, but many in the world of religion differ on this view and on this topic specifically, in this particular scripture that we read today. And I'm not a fan of the institution of religion. You should know that by now. I'm not a churchy guy. I'm not into all the religious aspects of religion, mainly because of the legalistic approach to faith. This legalism, and it's out there all over the place, that you got to, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's to be a person of faith. And it's more about Roman hierarchy of rules and procedures than it is about living a Jesus-centered life. And that's not why I'm not a fan of it, big time. Some even call it churchianity. Maybe you've heard that language before. But that's what they're talking about. It's more about rules and regulations and procedures than it is about actually getting in the trenches with the wounded, the suffering, and the excluded, and actually living this thing out. It's about all this other stuff, and it just couldn't be more false, I think. It's just a false teaching of Scripture. Calvinists, but other Christian sects that are out there in the world, along with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, believe that eternity has been determined for a select few people, that they've been cherry-picked. And maybe you've been caught in this world of thinking. This thing called eternity, from God's perspective, He already knows whom He will save, He knows who will be damned, regardless of their faith, their love, their merit, or their background. It's already determined. It's predetermined. You're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. And so the big question is, how do you know if you're in, or how do you know if you're out? And that's kind of the joke that we started out with, is you can get lost in that. But there's a lot of people out there in the world that believe that. And what were you taught to believe? And what do you believe about predestination? Do you really believe, and here's putting on a Jesus-centered lens. This is why I always tell you to put on a Jesus-centered view of Scripture or anything you're doing. Put on a Jesus-centered lens and show me in Scripture where Jesus excluded anybody. Nobody. So if you put on a Jesus-centered lens to look at this Scripture, I think it takes on a whole new meaning, because the God I understand, I worship, this Jesus-looking God, doesn't exclude anybody. So the predestination piece is more of a choice that comes out of free will than anything. We're all given a free will. I don't think anybody here would argue that. You can call it the greatest gift or the greatest curse, however you choose it, but you have it. You have say-so. Whether you're going to follow Jesus or you're not going to follow Jesus. If you're going to come to church, you're not going to come to church. If you're going to open the Word of God or you're not going to open the Word of God. You have say-so in that each and every day. We all have that same say-so. There's some here that aren't here with us or aren't following Jesus simply because they said no, thank you. It isn't because they haven't been given an invitation. It's just no thanks. I'm good. I'm living for my own self-interest. Life's good. I got a good job, house, wife, kids, little 401k going, got a little Bitcoin, got me a new truck, lift kit on it, doing good. You know, Phillies are in the World Series, whatever, and so forth. You know what I'm saying. But that's what you're living for. And I'm just good. And that's most of the world, friends. So when it comes to this invitation, this predestined, it means like we're the chosen ones, we're cherry-picked, and those who are out there just living for their own self-interest aren't. No, it's because we said yes to an invitation. That's it. We said yes, and somebody said no. I didn't always say yes. I said no for a long time. And not just no. I screamed no. No thanks. You know, not a way part of it. And so that's the difference. You can come with me anytime you want down at the treatment center on Sunday nights. I'll be there tonight. There'll be 50 to 70 people there. Statistically speaking, 1 out of 33 of those people will ever get clean and sober in their life. The other 32 will burn their life completely into the ground. But somebody will say yes to the invitation to come all the way in, sit all the way down, and follow a spirit-centered, Jesus-centered way of life, and it will transform their life. The spirit will come alive in them. They will become spirit warriors. They will be resurrected. The impossible will become possible. Their life will take on a whole new meaning, and they will go out and live a life beyond our wildest dreams. 32 said no, 1 said yes. So the predestination to me, and the way I understand Scripture, especially looking at it through a Jesus-centered lens, is that God invites everybody to the party. But He gives you a free will to say yes to it or no. And it's not just saying yes and getting zapped. You've heard me talk about that many times. It's not just coming and getting saved, getting water sprinkled on you, and I'm good. No, you've got a purpose in your life. You know, you have to repent, you know, you have to exercise faith, you have to exercise repentance, but you have to live into it. But if you live into it, then this life that God promises on earth as it is in heaven starts to manifest itself in your life here. And you're no longer enslaved to the junk in your life, only by choice, only by choice. And you get free from that. But the beauty of it all, as a spirit warrior, and this is what I hope you hang on to, is that you have the privilege to walk shoulder to shoulder with other people who are wounded, who are suffering, and who are excluded, and help them rediscover life. And that is to cast me out. That is the trifecta. That is the grand slam. That is the triple crown. When you have that privilege to walk with people and help them rediscover life, but help the spirit come alive in them when they have no hope, when they think they're well beyond prepared, when they think the impossible is not possible, and you have a chance to step in that place with a lot of hope. Not all the words, but you have the Holy Spirit as your advocate, your spirit guard, to help you help people do the impossible. That's what it means to live this life. This is what we're all called to. And it looks different in different spaces. And it goes through seasons based on your age, based on your talents, based on your mobility, based on what you can do. But there's always something you can be doing. There's always something. And your job is to discover that. And if you need help discovering that, well, we want to help you do that. But I've studied this topic through the years, this whole predestined thing. And again, I could do a 10-part sermon series on it, but I'm not. But I do encourage you to do your own research on it and just see how many rabbit holes this thing's went down. And I think you will discover real quickly why there's 80 different churches within 5 miles of here. Because of that very reason. And it's just delusional at best, as far as I'm concerned. If you're following Jesus, it's like everybody's invited to the campfire. Come and sit and be with us. I don't think it gets any more simpler than that, but we sure complicate it big time. And I think they take a pretty simple statement in Scripture and make it very confusing and disheartening for a lot of people. Again, I want to read the Scripture to us so we get this clear in our minds. God knew what He was doing, and I'm quoting again. God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the onset to shape the lives of those, listen to what he says, those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Basically, the ones who say yes and choose to live a Jesus-centered life and love Jesus. The son stands the first in humanity. He's the firstborn, as Jesus would be called. We see the original intended shape of our lives in there in Him, meaning that we live a Jesus-centered life. We're shaping our lives from trying to mimic Jesus's. After God made that decision of His children should look like, He followed up by calling them by name. And I had a chance to stand up. Long, you in or out? I'm out this time. Okay, next. You know, just on down the line. You have a choice to be in or be out. And the demonstration, I think, around you has a big influence on whether somebody's going to say yes or no. Because if it's very hypocritical, it's a very hellfire and brimstone approach to the invitation, probably going to get a lot of no's in life. And I don't think that's going to be held against them ultimately at the end of the day. I think there's a lot of grace from that. You know, that's been your exposure to Jesus, a very twisted perception of Jesus. When that day comes, I think there'll be a lot of grace in that space. But there's a lot of people, and if I go down to the treatment center tonight, what I have to know, or if I go to the prison, or I go down to the food pantry, it doesn't matter where I go. What matters is people listen with their eyes and they think with their feelings. That's what broken people do. They listen with their eyes. They watch. Are you for real? Are you what you say? I know you got the cross necklace and the cool emblem on the back of your car, but are you for real? Do you really live this stuff out? They watch. They listen with their eyes. And when they see there's truth in that, they connect with that. And that's powerful. So how we carry ourselves is imperative when we go out into the world. After He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then after getting them by established, He stayed with them until the end, gloriously completing what He had begun. End quote. So Jesus brings you in, yes, to the invitation. The Holy Spirit starts to work on you. We call that sanctification through the perfect love of God. Over time, we just become more holy. We become more like Jesus. Never perfect, never 100% in this life, but definitely before we stand in front of the God, we'll be made perfect. And that is awesome. It doesn't sound like God's cherry picking to me. It sounds like God's pretty gracious to everybody's extended this invitation. And it just explains why so many people will say no to it. And you think about how many people have said no to you. Have you reached out to the people you love? About your own kids, your grandkids, great-grandkids that aren't following Jesus, aren't following the Lord? Has it been because you haven't offered it? Is it because you haven't given them an invitation? Have you invited friends to church or this or that? And they're just like, no, I'm good. No, no. Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about. It isn't that they haven't been invited. It's just that they said no. So God made people with, again, free will. Call it the greatest gift, the greatest curse. We all have it. We have say-so in our life. I believe God has predestined all people through the Son of Jesus Christ to be saved, to experience salvation, and to experience eternity in heaven. All people. It's up to us whether we'll say yes to that invitation or not. And how we walk, how we talk, how we live, how we love, how we serve will determine if people even say yes to that. So it all matters and it all counts in this whole thing called kingdom building. People get to say yes to the invitation, to commit themselves to live in Jesus-centered lives, and they enjoy victory over sin in this life, and it's awesome, and the life to come. And I hope this clears it up. I mean, really, when it comes down to predestination, I have these talks theologically with people, and they just go off in rabbit holes. And again, it's kind of back to that joke. Why are you standing in this line? Because I chose to. Well, then you should be over in the free will line. You know, why are you in that line? I don't know. They told me to come over here. You know, by that time you're lost, you don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? It's really, you can get lost in all this legalistic stuff. I mean, it'll blow your mind when you listen to some of these conversations. I mean, some of them are very articulate. They put a good spin on it. And I'm like, dude, you know, you're tangled up in a web right there. But that's it. We are in the hope business, so that's our job. And so the question is, as we wrap, come to the conclusion of this message today, as Jesus-centered followers, if you said yes to God, then and you're created for a bigger purpose in your life, then how big do you pray? How big is your God when it comes to impossible become impossible? Because that's what this is what we're called to do. The scripture ends with, if God is on our side, how can we lose? If God's for us, then who can be against us? Although people will try to be against us, but ultimately at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Even if they kill our body, even if they would kill us, they can't kill our spirit. And our spirit will be alive in heaven forever. So that's the worst case scenario. But they can't take what God's saying. They can't take the spirit that's alive inside you. So with God's for us, then who can be against us? Then what are we afraid of? And how big are we willing to pray? How bold are we willing to pray? How big are your prayers? How big, hairy, audacious are your prayers and your beliefs for our church, for the Big C Church, for the Kingdom of God, for what's going on in the world? How big is your faith? And are you willing to step into that? And that's the million-dollar question. I want to share with you a story as we close out, because if our faith is awesome, if our faith is strong, then what we do in the world and what God can do through us is nothing short of miraculous. The impossible becomes possible every day. If you don't believe me, just come with me to Sauna Lake. If you want to see a resurrection, just come with me for 4 weeks to Sauna Lake. You'll watch a resurrection. You'll watch somebody who's everything but dead on heroin addiction or alcoholism in 30 days be restored to go on and live an amazing life. You know, the Spirit of God gets in them, they come alive again. That's resurrection here in the present. It's what we're talking about. We're in that business. But how big is your life? How big a hope do you got? I want to share with you a story as we close out. It's a powerful story. Some of you may know the story. It came out in the early 90s. But it's a true story. But it just shows you the power of what determination, faith, perseverance, and the Holy Spirit empowering all of it, and the never say die attitude, what God can do with that. So I want to share this story with you. It's an incredible story, and it'll help you rethink the word impossible, I can promise you. But we are in the hope business, every one of us, and we can help bring the impossible, make the possible become possible in a lot of lives, especially the wounded, the suffering, and the excluded. So here it goes. Sometimes a story comes around that is so inspiring that it makes you question just what you're actually capable of accomplishing in your own life. And this is one of those stories. In 1984, Augusto and Michaela Odone took their 6-year-old son to a doctor because he was stumbling, becoming bad-tempered and not feeling well. And after a few tests, doctors diagnosed their son Lorenzo with a rare disease called adrenoleukodystrophy. Adrenoleukodystrophy is a big, long word. That's pretty good for Ozark Hillbilly, say that word. There was no treatment for the disease. Doctors said little Lorenzo would continue losing his balance, go blind and deaf until he actually died of aspiration. This is her little boy. He wasn't expected to live more than 2 years after he was diagnosed. Augusto and Michaela consulted several doctors and specialists about the disease, but everyone said the same thing. There is no known cure or treatment. It's hopeless, man. Sorry, but there's nothing we can do about it. But Augusto was a fighter and refused to accept such a terrible situation without expending every ounce of energy he had to overcome it. If no cure existed, he would just discover one on his own. That was his determination. I want to think about how bold that is, a faith. That's not just egocentric thing. That's committed, bold faith. Unfortunately, he faced some huge obstacles. Number one, Augusto only had a high school level of understanding in science and medicine. Is that pretty limited, Jason?
Pretty limited.
Pretty limited, right? There's a science teacher. He just validated it. So Lorenzo's behind the eight ball already. He had to learn everything about the disease from scratch. That includes things like how to degradative enzymes, cross membranes, and how long chain fatty acids accumulate. So he had to learn all this stuff on his own. After learning about it, he had to discover a cure and do it all in less than 2 years in order to give Lorenzo a chance to live. So a dude with a high school diploma in science, and he's got to figure all this out in 2 years. It's impossible. It can't be done. That's what everybody was telling him. So he turns the impossible into a reality. By day, Augusto worked as an economist at the World Bank. At night, he scoured research papers and medical journals from the National Institute of Health. He worked dauntlessly and put all his effort into figuring out this disease. He finally got an insight from an unlikely source. Now, you're going to just think this is crazy, but listen to this source. The oils he used to make spaghetti carbonara. The oils he used to make his favorite dish, spaghetti carbonara. He reasoned that the oils might soak up the deadly acids before it hurt Lorenzo's nervous system. He finally got an insight to that. Medical research thought he was crazy. After all, it's absolutely unheard of for a complete amateur in medicine to develop a cure to a complex neurological disease that professionals have been studying for decades. But when they tested the oil on Lorenzo, it made a huge impact on his condition. While it didn't cure him completely, it did halt the progress enough for Lorenzo to live an additional 20 years when he died from an accident, not the disease. It took until 2005 for doctors to publish a study to finally prove the treatment actually works, which is now known as Lorenzo's Oil, which is also the name of a movie that came out in the early 90s. You can probably watch it on Netflix. In that time, Augusto and Michaela had given it to hundreds of people and saved lives all over the world. That's what a spirit warrior attitude looks like, friends. So what are the big lessons? It sounds impossible, doesn't it? It just sounds like a crazy story. Someone with only a high school understanding of science, studying enough about a rare disease to find a treatment for it, and he did it in less than 2 years. We know it's impossible, though it happened. We know it's impossible for somebody to die and resurrect, be raised from the dead, but it happened. You hear what I'm saying? But it happened. And it's impossible from some people's lives are so broken, so fried, so burnt, that it seems impossible that their eyes could ever be restored. But yet it happens. When spirit-centered people get in the way, when spirit warriors walk alongside with people and help them rediscover life, that's what it means to be a spirit warrior. That's what we're called to do, is help be a Lorenzo Oil in other people's lives. We can do that through God channeling through us. But it should give us all pause. Or let me say, this writer says, I have to admit that if I heard about Augusto and Michaela's plan to find a cure for a disease with little to no knowledge about the medicine, I would have assumed it was impossible too, if I'm honest with myself. It's just so far outside the norm that it's too easy to miss it that way. But it should all give pause to think what we consider impossible in our own lives. Now, I'm not talking about a selfish standpoint, what you can accomplish, making more money, degrees, and all that. There's nothing wrong with that as long as other people are going to be blessed in His kingdom center. But I'm talking about what impossible things can God do through your life. Right now, right this second. It seems easy to define what's possible and what isn't. We tend to use our own perceptions of things when seen before to help guide us what can actually be done. So this is what happens in our church. We see a declining church, and I'm talking to Big C Church, and we look at it and go, nothing can be done about it. Couldn't be anything further from the truth. But that's what we think, because that's what we see. Again, how big is your God? Really type mentality when it gets to this. The adults went into the unknown area of experience where no one had gone before because it never had been done before. People were ready to dismiss it away as impossible. But it's important to test our perception and our assumptions. Many times they're wrong. And when it comes down to the kingdom of God, I can promise you it's wrong. If Augusto and Michaela had simply accepted their situation, Lorenzo would have died much earlier in life. The only reason they found the cure was due to Augusto's determination and willingness to carry on the fight. Make no mistake about it. What Augusto and Michaela did was a long shot. No question. A huge long shot. But that's the strange and beautiful thing about life. Sometimes the long shots pay off. And so your long shots, going down to the treatment center, where 1 out of 33 will say yes, 1 out of 33 will ever get sober. But one of those will. I don't know which one. It isn't none of my business. But when I go down there and I'm present, what's cool about it is I'm going to have a front row seat to whichever one says yes to it and watch their life take off. And there's no better deal on the planet. So wherever you're living, wherever you're at on your journey, friends, I hope you get this spirit warrior mentality that the impossible can become possible and that God can do some pretty amazing things through the lives of other people, through you as a channel, because you said yes, because you said yes to the invitation, and because you put yourself in a position to be in the midst of the wounded, the excluded, and the suffering, which is what a Jesus-centered life looks like. So with that, I'm going to invite us all to stand. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite our band back up here as we get ready to close out. Hey, Father, just thank you for your word today. It's a word that has a lot of depth and weight. It's a word that has a lot of twisted perceptions, and some of it flat evil, excluding people from your love, your grace, and your mercy, putting you as some kind of God that cherry picks who will spend, who's welcome to their your house, who's welcome to sit on your lap, who's welcome to be in your presence, and who's not. We don't subscribe to that. We look to follow Jesus, and Jesus said yes to everybody. And so we want to have that same mentality, that spirit warrior mentality that your son carried through his life and demonstrated through us time and time and time again. That's the attitude that we want to take on. And we know that we're all predestined to be with you. And our job is to go out there, those who struggle to say yes to you, those who think they're disqualified from saying yes to you, those who think that they're already kicked to the curb because of religion, because of twisted teachings, false teachings, or just because of their own sin nature, Lord, we want to be able to step into their life, to the wounded, to the suffering, to the excluded. We want to be able to put in a position to where we can help them know that they can say yes. It takes two to say yes for a relationship, and we're all blessed because you already said yes. So, Lord, it's up to us, but not just selfishly. It's up to us to help other people say yes to your invitation as well. So help us as spirit warriors live into that, be sold out to that, be committed to that, and believe and trust and hope that the impossible can become possible for so many people out there, not just Lorenzo, but so many people who are lost and broken, where everybody looks at them and says, they're never going to change. They're never going to straighten out. They're never going to come to the Lord. Lord, we know there's so much that out there. We want to be able to step into that and prove them wrong through the power of the Holy Spirit. So give us the courage and the willingness to do just that. We pray this boldly in your son's name. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.